skateboarding. Denny, how are you?
I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I'm nervous. Don't say it out loud, Denny.
What a layup.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to Pup's relationship advice book.
Marriage counselling in here. Don't worry about that.
Bestseller.
Oh, my God.
It's a pretty thin book, Pup.
Oh, mate. Tell me about it.
Not a lot of rules.
If you're looking for success, go to the other chapter. It's not in my book.
It's like a choose your own adventure. Remember those?
Oh, dearie me.
Denny, take us through the Roosters injury ward, and do you think they'll be able to recover this season? Because Loz says, Loz, you already said they were gone without Luke Kyrie, as far as the premiership's concerned. Yeah. But, Denny, what do you think they can do considering what they're dealing with?
Oh, it's going to be very difficult, isn't it? I mean, the scenes we saw of the Morris twins, the embrace, it says a lot about the club there, and the way that dressing room just was totally shattered by what had happened to one of the all-time greats, Brett Morris. It says a lot about the culture. And I thought it was a really interesting scene watching young Joseph Suaalii sitting next to the twins, probably learning a lot about what rugby league careers mean to players, because he's been in his early days criticised for, which sport does he want to play, where does he want to be. But right then and there, I think he got a real dose of reality about what football can mean to some players. And what it means to that club and the resilience of the Roosters. I mean, you've got to admire the way that the makeup of that club and the number of injuries they've had. Look, some of the players were talking tough yesterday. Jared Warrior Hargreaves, who is their big dog, he's their alpha male, and he was very strong yesterday, saying that they've been in this sort of situation before, they can come through it. Personally, it'll be a massive, massive story if they could even make the top four.
I think you're right, Denny. Mm. I think if the Roosters made the top four, that would be success for them. Mm. And that'd be, I shouldn't say like winning a comp, but it would be like that, because I don't think anyone thinks that the Roosters can win the comp, other than maybe internally the players.
Sam Walker might have a say in that, Laurie. I mean, yeah. The way I asked Gus on the show last mm-hmm. night whether it reminded him of where he could remember when Joey burst onto the scene. He said, he almost said it's better, basically, what we're seeing. He said, Joey built into his career, and I'm paraphrasing him, but he said, Joey built into his career, whereas Sam Walker has just hit the ground running, and he's doing things that a halfback who's got 10 years experience he's doing. He's blown away by it.
Yeah, I am too. I think he's tremendous, but I'd be stunned if he could lead the team as it is at the moment with all the injuries they have to a grand final. If he did that, he's a future immortal.
Yeah, well, he is a very special player. Yeah. And he's been getting needled for a shoulder injury. He started last week's game, I think for the first time without getting a needle. But he got hit pretty hard after a kick, I think it was, and he required a needle at halftime, but he took it, batted on and played well, and he's got a toughness about him and an ability to read a game and not care. It's like a Jimmy Maloney approach. He just doesn't care about, what could happen. He throws the pass and watches it hit the mark, and he's a talent. Like you say, Laurie, I think that, yeah, if he could lead that team into a grand final, it would be remarkable.
Well, that'd be the story of the year. That would be the story of the year if Sam Walker could take this team now from where they're at with the amount of injuries that they've received.
But how good is it to watch? To watch a star emerge like that? And, there's talk that he's, he might struggle to get the sort of contract he wants at the Roosters. Well, I can promise you, Nick Politis will make a contract happen in some form. For Sam Walker at the Roosters, even if they've got some cap issues now. I know everyone's thinking about the sombrero, but it'll work for Sam Walker at the Roosters.
I love how he plays with no fear. I just love how he just backs himself to get the job done. He's confident, has a bit of a swagger about him. He plays tough, and he's not the biggest of kids, but he's very, very brave. And look, his development is just been unbelievable. And as
that's uncoachable, isn't it, Laurie? That's just born with that.
That's just him. That's just him being a natural football player. And you imagine him when he gets to 22, when he's had 4 years in the system.
Well, Mason wasn't this good when we first saw him, was he? When we saw Cleary, he was a very good player, and but he was contained. He allowed other players to dominate. But Sam Walker's running a multi-million-dollar football team without Luke Keary there.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, and without Jake Friend and without Boyd Cordner, who'll be back round 14. You broke this story yesterday about George Williams down there in Canberra being homesick. What's the latest with that, Denny?
Well, Laurie, I was sort of hammering you last week about what's going on at the Raiders. We didn't really know what issues were lying beneath. There's been a couple emerge this week. Firstly, the Joey Tarponet, his partner, criticising Ricky on social media. How do you reckon it was for Joey at training yesterday when you saw Ricky?
Yeah, not a good career move, I wouldn't have thought.
I'm getting a bit of mail out of there that Ricky let him know what he thought. And Ricky's up for the fight right now. I can't say the exact quote he said to me yesterday when he didn't really want to talk to me, but he gave me a quote. And basically, he's in for a fight with his players. He said, if they want to fight, I'm up for the fight. And he used a few expletives in there as well, because he knows he's got a talented group and he knows they're not giving their best. And Ricky demands the best from his players, and he's ready to challenge them. We're talking about, I think that would have affected them. And yes, George Williams. This tipped Jimmy yesterday. And look, the Raiders are a very well-run club. And they are going to do everything they can to make George Williams happy because they rate him. From all accounts, I'm told he's very popular with the playing group and a good fella. But he's struggling with the distance, not seeing his family who are in England. And as you said, Laurie, he's got starting a family. And they want him to hang on for the season. Beyond that, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he decides to go home. The only thing that Williams would have to consider if he goes home is he's going to be earning a third of the money that he's on now. And, you know, that's a big sacrifice to start with. But the other thing is, does that now make the Raiders a player all of a sudden in the halfback market? Because if they suddenly need someone to replace Williams, they're going to be looking at some of the options that are out there. I don't know if they come in late and make a play for a Reynolds or a Moses. I don't think so, but they might start having to look for a halfback for next year because I don't know whether they've got a ready-made replacement.
Now, I heard you on 100% footy on the Nine Network last night, Denny, saying that there could be changes looming for the six again rule.
You're up late, Jerry.
Oh, I caught it this morning, let's face it.
Don't you love John Morosi
Jerry
from America?
Jerry doesn't sleep, Danny.
Just because he calls him Jerry, it's great. I love it.
Much six, worse.
So have I. Six again. So the NRL thinks that teams are taking the mickey out of the rule, that they're all giving this penalty away early. Giving a six away, six again away early. And they now want to start penalising this and potentially sin binning it if it's repeating. So they've had enough, basically, because they probably realise that clubs are rorting the rule. The other thing which is interesting, they want the referee to be accountable for his decision and they want an explanation for each of these decisions. Because right now, we're watching it and it's just flowing on and a lot of people are asking, well, what was that for? Why did that happen? They want the fans to know what's going on. Now, an obvious way to do that would be to give the referee a bigger voice in the coverage. I don't know whether the broadcasters would love the referee drowning out of Ray Warren, for example, and having to put up with that. But that may be a solution. But I think the NRL is working on a way so that the average Joe out there like us can understand what's going on in the middle. And that's not a bad thing at all because right now the game's flowing so quickly and we're just wondering, what was that for? Why did that happen? I don't know what you think of that, Laurie, whether that's a good idea or...
No, I don't know what... I don't know what the solution is, but one thing I know has happened this year, we haven't been critical of the referees because of the fact that a lot of the decisions have just been so quick to have happened. They wave their hand and it's six to go and away you go. Whereas in the past, you'd scrutinise their decision if it was going to be a penalty. You'd look at it and say, well, hang on, that wasn't a penalty. It should have been a penalty or whatever. But nowadays, it's just play on and everyone just moves on. But I mean, with this six again rule, I mean, I said earlier this morning that when I was coaching the All-Stars, when was that? Back in February, the players were well aware of what needed to be done. They were telling me that this is what they were doing and this is what we need to do on tackle one when we kick the ball and get them into the corner. You know? So they've been well aware of it for a while now that this was going to happen. So,
do we want to give the referees a bigger presence in the game again? That's my only concern with it. I mean, like, it's nice that they're at least semi-invisible because I'm sure they enjoy that too. They don't want to be. Well, you wouldn't think they'd want to be the star attraction, right?
No, that's exactly right.
Denny, you mentioned Adam Reynolds. What's the latest on him and the Rabbits?
Mate, this takes up more press space than you get, Clarkie, doesn't
it? Oh, thank God. Don't sign, Adam. Look, let us keep talking about it.
It's never ending.
Yeah. You're okay.
Sorry about that. I'm in a centre and I'm just sort of making some sort of announcement anyway. I hope you can hear me.
Yep.
So with Adam Reynolds...
Mate, get down and do 10 push-ups, would you? SAS?
Hang on, guys.
Definitely an emergency.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fire brigade there?
I'm walking outside.
And we got you now.
Okay, good. So with Adam Reynolds, it's ongoing. And look, everybody's trying to say that it's a done deal at Cronulla. But the only people who are not saying that is Cronulla. And I don't know whether this figure of $2.4 million for 3 years is where it's at the moment. It might get there eventually, but I think it's a bit short of that. Now, there's interesting plays going on behind the scenes. Perhaps the most interesting is Brisbane extending an olive branch of sorts to Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett and Adam Reynolds have a very close relationship. Now, I don't know whether I'm being a conspiracy theorist or reading too much into the situation, but Kevvy Walters was saying to people yesterday that he's confident he can get Adam Reynolds. So it's an interesting situation. I wouldn't want to put my reputation on where he's going to end up. But right now, I don't think it's as certain at the Sharks as a lot of people are saying. And I just wonder what's going on behind the scenes with Bennett and the Broncos and Reynolds. And at no point have I heard Adam Reynolds say, I don't want to move interstate. I think a lot of people have taken that as a fact. But I haven't heard it from his mouth yet.
I don't think he wanted to move interstate. I don't think he wanted to move to North Queensland.
No.
I think he'd be prepared to move to Brisbane. In fact, I think probably Brisbane may be the favourites to sign him.
Really? Are you getting a similar sort of mail getting about Bennett? And
things are just sort of, I don't know. I think if the Sharks were going to sign him, they would have maybe got him by now.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have.
No, look, you're pretty close to Steve Gillis, Laurie. You must get some sort of intel there. But he's being very, very guarded every time I try and get anything out of him. I did ask him yesterday whether Souths could come in and make a hero play at the end, and suddenly make some sort of offer for him. And he wasn't aware of that. I asked the club that as well, and they weren't aware of it. So
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't think Souths will make a late play. I think they've held their position and will continue to hold their position that they just can't fit him in.
Should the Raiders have a crack at him?
He'd be a good fit. He'd be a good fit. In particular, if they've got money to spend with George Williams, if they can keep George Williams till the end of the year and then, you know, he wants to go home, but, you know, Adam Reynolds, wherever he goes, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a halfback that kick goals, can guide you around the paddock, can give you good field position with his kicking game, tests the line when he needs to, puts his body in front in defence, and he's a very good person to have in your club because he's a guy that, you know, he's got a bit of a swagger about him. He's a bit cheeky. Someone that you love as a number seven. You know, he's prepared to sort of give a bit, cop a bit, and he's good for team morale. Talking about players that are playing good football and off contract, Nathan Brown from Parramatta. What's the latest there?
Look, interesting. So I was getting info that last Tuesday he was going to sign a contract with Parramatta for 2 years. However, since the Mitchell Moses talk started to escalate, and the talk that he could get a longer deal, that's led to Nathan Brown questioning whether, okay, I'm being told that Parramatta are only offering two-year deals at max, and all of a sudden I'm hearing Mitchell Moses is getting offered a long deal. So that has put a bit of a question mark in his mind. The deal was supposed to have been done last week. I don't know whether it'll get done this week. And if it drags on a little bit, I can tell you that other clubs are now starting to get a bit more interested in Nathan Brown. He's a quality player. He provides something that a lot of other forwards don't have with that leg speed. And it could be a tricky one for Parramatta. I mean, he was very close to doing the deal and there was just a bit of a hesitation there. So maybe they can sort it out still, and it probably would be a good fit for him to stay with the Eels.
Denny, we'll leave it there, mate. Thanks so much. Have a good week.
Thanks for having me on.